Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, which comes to you from Chicago, was written by Joseph Mindell and is entitled The Voice.
This is how it used to be. The sound of saints and scholars pondering God's words with love and wonder. The academy had been here in Volozhin for 150 years. And maybe, long ago, Rabbi Chaim himself had opened his books and sat at this very table under which I swept every day. Oh, the dust. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
It's not your fault. The throat gets dry sometimes.
I disturbed your studies with my sweeping.
It's nothing. It will pass.
Water. I'll bring you some water.
It's not necessary. It will pass.
No, a glass of water. Please take it.
Thank you, Aronson. Thank you very much.
This is how it used to be in the city of Volozhin, in the corner of Poland near Russia. In the academy where I polished the tables and swept the floors and brought water when a throat was dry and was made glad by the gentle sound of piety and learning. The voices are still now. The rabbis and the scholars are scattered and dead. And I, who was the janitor at the academy, I, Aronson, am alive. I will tell you the story as it happened, and you must believe that it's true. Maybe I've given you the wrong impression. The story's not about me. What is there to tell about Aronson the janitor? No, it's about...
Why are you called Aronson?
This is Shlomo Wasserman, who lived in the same house as I. The story's really about him.
Well, answer me. Why does everybody call you Aronson?
Aronson is my name, Shlomo.
Naturally, but which Aronson? David, Martel, maybe Obadiah?
Just Aronson.
Nonsense. Everybody has a name. What, for example, did your mother call you?
My mother? She died when I was very young. I remember she used to call me Shephelah, little lamb. I thought you would laugh, Shlomo.
Why should I laugh?
Well, you laugh at so many things.
What if I do? If a man took this world seriously, he could go crazy.
All right, Shlomo.
Besides, if I want to laugh, there's this matter of truth you were talking about.
Rabbi Chaim said, truth never dies.
How would you know what Rabbi Chaim said?
While I sweep, I listen.
And that makes you an expert on truth.
I believe it, Shlomo. I believe what he said.
Do you? It must be very comforting. Maybe he's right, your Rabbi Chaim. Maybe truth never dies. But Aronson, my friend, it lives a wretched life.
Shlomo Wasserman said things like that. What would you think if I told you he was a hero? Maybe you'd say a man must believe in something to be a hero. And maybe you'd be right. Still, I can only tell you what happened that summer of 1939 when Hitler and Stalin made an agreement and the German army began to overrun Poland.
Ah!
Well, is it ours or theirs?
It's simple, Aronson. If a bomb drops, you'll know whose it is.
I can't make out the markings.
And if there is no bomb? Well, in that case, it may fall later.
The planes were neither German nor Polish, but Russian. And they dropped not bombs, but leaflets, whose message we soon heard over and over again on the radio, in Russian, in Polish, even in Yiddish.
Die Polnische Republik ist gefallen.
The words were Molotov. By reason of the collapse of the Polish Republic, the Red Army has crossed the frontier to take under its protection its brother peoples of the Western Ukraine and White Russia.
Come now, Aronson. Is this how you welcome your brothers? With such a sour face?
We waited those anxious days, not knowing what would happen, not knowing what to do. I continued to sweep the floors and dust the tables of the academy. And the scholars, they continued to study in their books.
Aronson, if I may trouble you for a glass of water. Aronson.
Rabbi, why do you sit there? All of you, how can you sit over your books as if nothing is different?
Calm yourself, Aronson.
But the Russians are coming. Don't you know they'll be here any day?
I know.
Do you think they'll let the academy stand? Do you think they'll let you continue to study?
What would you have me do?
Oh, Rabbi, do I have to tell you? Save yourselves. Run while you still can.
You're not running.
Oh, well, it's not the same. I'm not important.
Shall I tell you what is important, Aronson? Here, in the book of Deuteronomy. And these words, which I command thee, shall be upon thy heart. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
But you don't understand, Rabbi. They'll scatter the scholars of the academy. They'll put you in prison. Maybe they'll even kill you.
Maybe. But the words will remain, Aronson. If I do not say them, there will be other voices. Aronson, if I live or die, if the academy lives or dies, the Torah still remains. The throat gets dry.
Yes, Rabbi. I'll bring you a glass of water. Bright day in the autumn of 1939, we stood in the main square of Volozhin and watched the Russians enter the city. And we were silent, even Shlomo Wasserman, but not for long.
Well, here they are.
Oh, there's so many of them, Shlomo, and they stand so straight.
After all, they're soldiers,
Aronson. No,
no. Is he? They've put their guns down and relaxed. They don't look so terrible, the Red Army soldiers, do they? Come.
Where are you going?
They're here. We might as well talk to them.
Oh, please, Shlomo, be careful how you talk.
I promise you I won't spit on Stalin's picture.
Shlomo, please, we know you. When you talk like, well, the way you do, we understand. But they don't know you.
When I talk to them, they'll know me, too. Excuse me, Sergeant.
Corporal Alexander Mirov.
Your band plays a fine tune, Corporal.
We have the best musicians in the world.
Oh, imagine marching off to battle to such music.
It's not a question of battle, Tovarish. We come as friends, as brothers.
Oh, I understand perfectly. I was admiring your boots, Corporal Mirov.
What, these? They're 2 years old.
You don't say. Why, they look like new.
We make only the best quality in the Soviet Union.
Quite different from the stories you hear.
Any fool can believe the lies they tell about how we live in the Soviet Union.
But the truth is something else, huh?
What a question. Listen, I worked on a kolkhoz. Meat. 3 times a week.
Imagine, Aronson. 3 times a week. Oh, we have certainly been misinformed about the Soviet Union.
We have a proverb. It's never too late to learn. Besides, Before long, you will have the same as we have.
Really? Here in Voloshin? When will it come about?
Soon. First, you understand, the corrupt administration must be replaced.
Naturally.
And then the people will be registered and assigned to productive labor.
Quiet. Corporal Merov, get them in line and quiet.
Get in line. You there, stop pushing. You'll all be registered one at a time.
You first. Your name. You, with the gray beard.
He's Reb Mayor, the Melamed.
He'll speak for himself. Write it down, Corporal. Mayor Melamed.
Oh, excuse me, Excellency. That's not quite right.
Never mind the title, and let the old man talk.
I'm only trying to help. You see, his name is Reb Mayor, and he's a Melamed, a teacher of children.
Corporal, put this man at the end of the line.
Oh, it isn't necessary, Corporal. Not another word, I promise.
Now, what do you teach, Melamed?
Gemara, Mishnah. I teach Torah, the law.
Oh, no history, no geography or mathematics.
Torah is everything.
Your ancient Hebrew law is obsolete.
Is truth obsolete? Are justice and mercy obsolete?
That's enough. You'll be given instructions as to what to teach.
I'll teach Torah.
Reb Mayor, don't argue with him.
I make allowances because you're an old man. Because in the Soviet Union, we honor the teachers of our children.
Provided they follow instructions.
Not another word.
Reb Mayor, just don't say it. I won't say any more.
That's better. You will be provided with a schoolroom.
I've used a room in the academy for 30 years.
The building has been taken over for another purpose.
Academy? But the scholars, the teachers.
They have been sent out of the city. About this room in the former academy.
But what will they do? How will they live?
That's not your concern. They are unproductive individuals and the city cannot support them.
Volozhin has supported the academy for 150 years. You've no right to destroy it.
And I have no time to argue with you. Either you'll do as you're told or you'll follow your precious scholars. Make up your mind.
I'll stay here.
An intelligent decision. You may continue to use the same room for your classes. All right, next.
Shlomo Wasserman, Your Excellency. Businessman.
There are no titles in the Soviet Union. I am Citizen Granovsky.
I'm happy to make your acquaintance, Citizen Granovsky.
The nature of your business?
It's not easy to say. Recently, I've specialized in lumber.
You have a lumber yard?
Oh, if I had a lumber yard.
A sawmill?
No, you see, it's
you
like
deal in
this.
Forest acreage.
If I may be permitted to explain. First, I run around and find somebody who has lumber to sell. That's half the job, you understand?
Go on.
Then I scurry around and look for somebody who wants to buy lumber.
And that's your business?
It's hard on the feet, but I make a modest living. That is, just enough to keep body and soul together.
Classification B, write it down, Corporal Mirov.
Excuse me, Citizen Granovsky, I'm very curious. What does it mean, classification B?
Unproductive element. Next.
Unproductive? Well, how could there be any business if I didn't bring buyer and seller together?
You're wasting my time, Wasserman. The regulation is clear as regards anyone without a trade or profession.
Why didn't you say so? Begging your pardon, Corporal. Please be so good as to remove my name from your list.
You have a trade?
Of course. My grandfather was an innkeeper, and I've worked with him for years. Actually, that's what I am, an innkeeper.
Make a note, Corporal. Classification unchanged.
If I may remind you, Tavarish Granovsky, the recreation hall.
What? Oh, yes, a good idea. Wasserman, you will be assigned to the Red Army Recreation Hall. Next.
Recreation? Oh, you mean saloon.
I said recreation hall.
Of course. Just as you say, I'm very happy to return at last to my own trade. I'll start right now, immediately. One thing, Citizen Granovsky.
What is it?
Where do I find this recreation hall?
You should have no difficulty, Wasserman. It is the former so-called academy.
Stop polishing the table, Aronson.
It's Rabbi Chaim's table, Shlomo.
Wake up, Aronson. Tomorrow it will be the table of any Red Army soldier who sits down at it with a glass of vodka. Oh,
Someone has to wipe the tables and sweep the floor. I've decided to stay here where I've always been.
You've decided? Who are you to decide?
This is where I want to be, Shlomo.
Sometimes you act like a simpleton, Reb Meir.
Shlomo, maybe some people are too simple to be sensible.
I tell you, Aronson. Shh. What are you listening for?
It's so quiet. I thought I heard... No, I was wrong.
Don't you understand, Aronson? All that is finished. From tomorrow on, you'll hear other voices.
Vodka! More vodka! What kind of service is this? You there! Stop dreaming and bring some vodka.
Don't you hear them, Aronson? Ah, your glass is empty, Sergeant.
A great discovery. I've been shouting for 10 minutes to get you.
Please, don't excite yourself.
He stands like a statue. Is this how you serve the Red Army?
Oh, it's just my luck to have such an assistant. Well, I always was a schlemiel. You know what a schlemiel is, Sergeant?
I want vodka, not a speech.
I'll tell you. A schlemiel is a man who lands on his back and bruises his nose. Bring another bottle, Anderson. Quickly! Aronson, stop listening. There's nothing to hear.
Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Hanino.
Shlomo was wrong. Sometimes, in the midst of the drinking and laughing, the old worldless melodies were in my ears, the gentle voices and the prayers. Most often, it was late at night, when everyone was gone, and I sat at the table where Rabbi Chaim used to sit long ago, and I listened.
Aronson, you'll have to stop this.
I'm not doing anything, Shlomo.
The academy is gone. This is only a building now. Wood and stone and glass like any other building.
How can you be so sure? 150 years, Shlomo. Maybe the voices are still, I don't know, in the walls.
You can't really believe that.
Maybe not. Maybe I only remember how it used to be.
Then stop remembering. Things are different now. Forget how it used to be.
Why are you so anxious to forget, Shlomo?
Don't put words in my mouth, Reb Meir. If I didn't take the job, would that keep them from making a saloon out of the academy? I tell you, there's nothing I can do. Absolutely nothing. Maybe there is something I can do. Citizen Granovsky, I found just the thing.
What are you talking about, Wasserman?
It took me 3 weeks. On my own time, you understand, but I found it.
Come to the point or get out. I'm busy.
An empty warehouse. Big, airy, and close to the barracks. An ideal recreation hall.
Wasserman, I don't take you for a fool.
Whereas the one we have now is dark.
So please do me the same courtesy. You want the recreation hall moved out of the former academy.
As I explained, it's totally inadequate. Besides...
And that's enough. May as well leave now. And I would advise you not to get any more ideas.
No. No, of course not.
It might not be healthy.
I always say, your health comes first. You can always hang yourself later.
And you might give my advice to your friend, Mayor Melamed.
Yes. What's that about Red Mayor?
Only that if he has any ideas, he'd better give them up.
I'm sure he's teaching just as he was instructed.
And maybe something else on the side.
You have no reason to suspect him.
Wasserman, I'll tell you something. The only people I don't have to worry about are those who are afraid.
Granovsky knows, Reb Meir.
Already?
You're not surprised.
He had to find out sooner or later.
Why did you have to do it? It doesn't prove anything.
I didn't want to prove anything.
There's nothing wrong with history and mathematics. Why couldn't you teach what he wanted you to teach?
It was Soviet history and Soviet mathematics, Shlomo. Soviet truth and Soviet justice.
In these times, you allow yourself the luxury of keeping your soul pure.
Why are you so excited? After all, it's my soul.
You're not fooling me. I know what you mean.
Shlomo, for me, it's not a luxury, what I did, but a necessity.
It accomplishes nothing.
We're not important people, you and I and Aronson, who stands there listening.
Redmere, the Academy is gone. I can't bring it back.
What can we hope to accomplish but to tell Grunovsky and all the Grunovskys that the truth is a lie and the justice a mockery?
We know it. Why must you say it?
Because I'm afraid.
Of Grunovsky?
No. I'm afraid that if I don't speak God's truth, I'll become used to living by Grunovsky's falsehood.
Listen. I don't hear anything, Aronson.
Only listen, Shlomo.
Why should I listen? There's nothing, not a sound. I tell you, there's nothing at all.
Aronson, you think I didn't hear it from the beginning?
You again, Wasserman?
Tovarish Granovsky, I have come to submit my resignation.
Is that so?
We might perhaps come to an agreement about better wages and hours, but...
No, I think I'll miss you.
I assure you, the parting will be more painful for me than for you.
We have special places for people who resign.
I've heard of them.
Your sentence will be at least 5 years.
As much as that. Of course, I won't promise to stay the full time.
You'll stay. Wasserman, I'm disappointed in you.
People often are.
I thought you were a man of intelligence. What you're doing serves no useful purpose.
Citizen Granovsky, every year I gave a few pennies for the support of the Academy. Not only I, but thousands of people in Volozhin, in all of Europe. It was our Academy. It stood for the things we believe in. You had no right to destroy it.
You're a fool, after all. The fact is that your Academy no longer exists. And all your talk won't bring it back.
But I will not consent to its destruction.
Very noble, Wasserman. Tell me, how many will follow your example?
It doesn't matter.
How many will even know what you've done?
You will, Granovsky. And I. Maybe it's enough that you and I will know.
You know that the voices are stilled in Volozhin, but we heard them often, Shlomo Wasserman and Reb Meir and I. We heard them in the prison labor camp in Siberia, where they sent us. We heard them as we slaved and froze and hungered for 7 long years until we escaped and returned to the world. And being returned, we looked and saw that our world was dead.
This was Aronson's story, yet I, Shlomo Wasserman, must have the last word. You know how many died later when Hitler's understanding with Stalin expired and Hitler's army swept over Poland. Do you also know why we survived? Why so many died and Aronson lived? It is a question I cannot answer. I can only tell you that Aronson did not deny for the sake of safety the voice he heard. The voice that sang of truth and justice and God's love.
Salvatore, che neghe tu.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Myron Weinstein, member of the National Cabinet of the National Planning Committee of the Seminary and president of the Chicago Council of the United Synagogue, Mr. Weinstein.
The Academy of Volozhin was more than a building or a meeting place for scholars. It was a symbol of freedom. Freedom of inquiry, freedom of assembly, freedom of the spirit. And as such, it stood for all that is loathsome to the oppressors and dictators of our time. The destruction of this sort of symbol has always been mandatory for the formulation of the police state since the beginning of history itself. Tyrants throughout the ages have understood and feared the vitality and enduring strength of the spirit and have fought and continue to fight its ruthless and merciless swords. History, however, proved the utter futility of their efforts. Their successes are feeble and short-lived. The intangible free spirit endures while the tactile swords of Hadrian, Nero, and Hitler rust and disintegrate by the wayside of the march of history. Today's depiction of the desecration of the Acadia of Volozhin recalled at the close of the Hanukkah season the desecration of our temple by Antiochus. The ultimate purification and rededication of the temple gives us hope that the free spirit again will assert itself and that another sword will be thrown by the wayside. Meir and Shlomo, like their Maccabean ancestors in biblical times, chose to resist the tyrannies of their times rather than accept safety and shackle spirits. They knew the difference between safety and freedom, living and existing, and they knew what they must do. But the words will remain, the old scholar said. If I do not say them, there will be other voices. Aronson, if I live or die, if the Academy lives or dies, the Torah still remains. Words like these have made powerful swords impotent and mighty tyrants fall from their shaky thrones.
Thank you, Mr. Weinstein. Our eternal light drama today, The Voice, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Howard Keegan and came to you today from Chicago. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.